fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Taylor Decker's on my all 22 fantasy team, by the way.
Stop. They don't care.
So the strategic component to this game is through the roof.
Your predictions, right? Your forecasting fantasy football into how good is this player?
This is gonna change the industry.
Yeah. I'll move to the old town when it goes down. Look at me now. I wrote my goals down. I hold it down. Made myself proud.
Audio only listeners, thank you for joining the All 22 NFL show. If you didn't join via YouTube, right, there is a YouTube video where we review the top six wide receivers of the NFL draft. We did 5 minutes and five plays for each prospect. So really quick kind of hits so that you could get a good summary of who these people are. And now we are going to do kind of a ranking and full discussion about them. And I think we're starting it off with Chris Bell, who I have as the bottom of this list. I had him at number six. So in summary, 6'2", 220-pound senior, right? I talked about how when we did the film review, this is a guy that when the ball is in his hands, he's Deebo Samuel-esque, right? Like this is a guy that's thick, he's strong, he's fast, he's explosive, he's dynamic, he moves well laterally with the ball in his hands. But when the ball's not in his hands and he has to run routes, when he has to separate, when he has to give himself space, when he has to fight for the ball, I saw him fail over and over and over again at that type of play, which to me is the most important part about being a receiver in today's NFL.
Damn, Chris. All right. I had Chris Bell. So here's the thing with Chris Bell. He tore his ACL in November. So he's probably going to miss all of 2026. You know I hate that stuff. You know I'm extremely conservative when it comes to these injuries. I get concerned about the long haul with that. Even if it's just one ACL, everyone says, oh, you know, it's not what it was in the 90s. And yes, that's correct. But it doesn't, they don't always come back the way they should or the way you want them to or to 100%. It just doesn't work out that way. Don't know the particulars or there's no way of knowing how that will affect him. However, and this is why I have such an easy out. So I could just be bold and then just blame the knee if it doesn't work out. Pre-injury, Chris Bell for me was wide receiver 4. And I would have had no qualms taking him in the first round. Wow. Here's the thing that separates him from me. He's big. Yes. He's fast. Yes. The yards after the catch. The only players I see that from in this class at that level are 190 pounds, 195 pounds, 185 pounds. This is a player who is like 6'2", 220. This is a legit X-sized receiver who can get yards after the catch with his ball in the hands, in his hands, as effectively as Pause. Those little slot, damn, as those slots, as those slot players, as those, you know, jitterbug type guys. He's those guys, but plus 40 pounds. With the ball in his hands. That is so unique to me. I can work with, hey, here's how you got to work with your hands and your and strength and everything at the top of your route. Here's how to be a receiver. I can't teach anyone else in this class to be you physically. I just can't.
Do you remember a guy named Laviska Shenault?
Oh, don't do that. No. He's better than Laviska Shenault.
Are you sure? In what way is he better?
He's just more effective with Laviska Shenault. what made him great didn't translate as effective. He couldn't do that to NFL defenders. He can't just blow by them with speed and force at that side. This is different. Like, I know it seems similar and sounds the same because they're big and they're fast and they're strong, but
after the catch. It's all about being the player after the catch.
But Chris Bell can work himself. He can work himself open over the middle of the field on some of those crossers. Laviska Shenault never could. Laviska Shenault had to just catch it on a screen or a smoke, and that was it. He couldn't do anything else. Chris Bell,
I showed you
win.
Two receptions where he did that, and that's exactly what happened.
I know that. I know that. I get that. But what I'm saying, what I'm saying is Bell can do that. Shenault can't or couldn't. And Bell can go deep. Like, he's not nuanced, but he can get behind you on a go, and you're just in trouble. And you can't even do the thing where you stop him for a PI because he's so big and powerful. He's just got so much force downfield. Shenault could never do that. Shenault was just, I have to throw. Like, you can't be moving when I throw you the ball because then you just look uncoordinated. Like, it just doesn't look good. Okay. I'm so sad he tore. I'm so sad with this injury. I think he could have skyrocketed up the boards. And I think what would have happened, here's what I think would have happened with Chris Bell if he were healthy. He would have skyrocketed up the boards. And then people would have had unrealistic expectations for him in year one. And people would have been disappointed. This is still a guy who needs some time to reach that ceiling because he is not a nuanced route runner. He's not he doesn't have the Carnell Tate type of feel for a lot of things. So he probably would have been unfairly negatively judged after year one, after like people took it too far in the positive direction. But after a couple of years, I think he could have gotten there with the right system and the right coaching. And he could have been a star. He could still be a star, but obviously the injury just changes the math on everything. And he's probably going to miss it the entirety of his rookie year. I don't love to see that starting behind the eight ball so early on in your career. It does not bode well, but to be fair to the player, as if he were healthy, I would have had him behind the, you know, Tate, Tyson, Lemon three, however you rank them. He would have been right there for me before Boston or anybody else.
We reviewed 9 receivers.
Yeah, 9.
Oh, okay. So he's 9 for me. That's crazy. Okay. So he's 9.
Insane. Okay.
And I don't know if you want to throw one out. If not, I'll try to continue this thing.
No, because I worked from the top down and I got to 4 and then just started fighting with you. So you just keep going with 8.
All right. I have 3 guys in a tier. That's like the next tier. So I would guess that would be 6, 7, 8. And they're different style receivers. But to me, I think the way I'm doing my rankings is like most likely to be a very successful receiver at the next level to least likely. And I don't want to say least, but like less likely. And to me, unfortunately, it is 3 of the receivers that you showed today, which is, I think, Denzel Boston, Casey Concepcion, and Jeremy Bernard are the 3 guys I would have next. So you did the film review. You tell me about them, tell the people about them, and then we'll debate it. And tell me if you agree with me.
I mostly agree with you. I agree with you in principle. So it was Bernard, Concepcion, who's the 3rd?
Boston.
Okay. So I'm glad you kind of have it that way because I have those 3 grouped in my, you know, quick back and napkin rankings that I did literally right now. So I'll start with Jeremy Bernard. This guy's just not a wide receiver. He's an athlete playing football. You have to get the ball in his hands and then he can make things happen. But route running, pacing, he's not a wide receiver. He's not quarterback friendly at all as a wide receiver. He's quarterback friendly catching screens, you know, taking the ball, you know, handoff on some sweeps, that sort of thing. He's not going to run routes and just gain easy separation. He just does not have that nuance to his game. I do think he got better over the second half of this past season at some of those things overall, but he's still not there at an NFL level as a pure wide receiver. You're going to need a creative offensive mind. This is a very situational dependent type of player. He goes to the usual suspects, a McVay offense, perhaps a McDaniel offense, and, you know, one of the Shanahan disciples. You should probably pay attention to him because then he can make things happen because they know what to do with players like this. They know how to maximize talent and athleticism like this. Casey Concepcion and Denzel Boston, I have right above him. I think Casey Concepcion, I'll just do him next. He's a bit more similar in that he can take sweeps. He can kind of do a lot of the yards after catch things. What makes Casey Concepcion...
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Be ranks higher than Bernard for me as he can do some of the wide receiver things well. He can run routes downfield and scare the defense. He can make some catches in traffic and kind of make things happen after the catch. He's got some wiry strength to him that's a little bit deceptive, but his timing's not great either. He's not the most nuanced kind of guy. It's not what he was asked to do either. So they both are kind of in that same mold, but Casey Concepcion does more as a receiver to me than Jeremy Bernard. And then you have Denzel Boston, 6'4", 212. Again, really big frame, who is really good with tracking the ball down the field. I think he's a vertical threat who can also kind of body defenders on some of those comeback routes. But everything that will work for him will work off of the vertical game. The threat of him winning downfield is what will allow him to win routes short and in the quick game, because he does not have the athleticism or kind of that agility to win early and get easy separation on his own. So he's kind of a deep to short receiver in that respect. And I don't love the profile of those players. When they hit, they're fantastic. When they don't, it looks pretty bad. It looks like who's the guy that the Vikings drafted from Ole Miss that everybody thought was the next Dez Bryant, and he just wasn't. Guys like that. The NFL is littered with big receivers.
Dotson? No.
No, not Dotson, but he's better than Dotson for sure. I don't want to insult the player like that. The NFL is littered with big receivers who just didn't have that sort of just gangly nature to their game and frame that allowed them to win in the NFL. He could be that, but he's better at what those guys were good at. Could he be a lesser Nico
Treadwell?
Yeah, Laquon Treadwell. Yeah, like guys like that. And he's much more nuanced than Treadwell ever was. But, NFL sees size and they kind of get enamored with that. I think he could be a lesser Nico Collins. He could be. If he hits, that's what he's going to look like. But there are things there that are dangerous. And this is why I don't like receivers like this mostly. So just by you checking me at the start of the film review portion of this episode, probably already I'm just moving him down my board a bit even more, because I think I'm the type of evaluator, right? I would rather miss on someone who hits than take someone who's a miss. I'd rather kind of shrink the funnel a bit more than let too many in on my board, if that makes sense. So to try to be fair to the player, I try to see what other evaluators like about him and what they love about his game and why it could work. But Denzel Boston still scares me. So I have those three in a tier, probably Boston ranked higher than Concepcion, then ranked higher than Bernard. But they all scare me. But they all could hit in the right situation.
Awesome summary. Bernard, I have kind of the exact same notes. I think he is the athlete that you want, but he just doesn't know how to play receiver yet. And I, at the NFL level, like that to me is like your wide receiver four, right? You kind of get him into packages and you start to move him into it because you want the athlete on the field. You absolutely cannot have an athlete like that as an everyday starter. So to me, you're not taking that guy that early, right? Like if you decide to take him into the third or fourth round, to me that might be early for a guy that's a rotational piece in the beginning, right? So you really have to trust that that upside is there. I'm not sure I'm doing that. Then Concepcion, I do actually like this guy, right? Like I do like what he brings. I just think that the ceiling is there for him as like a wide receiver three. Like that's the kind of player. If he ends up a wide receiver two one day, awesome. To me, this is more of a true wide receiver three. But that's useful, right? Like there's more use to that than there is for Bernard. But then obviously Boston, which you talked about, I think that there's a lack of athleticism there as a lateral mover that, like you said, he's going to have to work on kind of a straight line, right? Like you either win deep, you win short. I don't know if you're winning intermediate routes and you're running intermediate routes with this guy. And again, like, how valuable actually is that for an NFL team? Are you going to use a day one or two pick on that? Maybe end of day two for me. You had him as a late first round pick, I think. I have him more as like a early third round guy. That's kind of what I have on Denzel Boston. Then I guess the next tier for me, or actually I'll just go next guy, because I think that's where I'm at now. My number five receiver, right? We're at five, is Elijah Surratt. And I know we kind of gushed over him and we talked about all the things he does really, really well. We think he's going to be so quarterback friendly. This is a guy, again, senior, 22 years old, 6'2", 213, so a bigger bodied guy. He wins with intelligence. He wins with nuance in route running. He knows how to create space for himself and for others. He's a good blocker. He's a guy that I think will be on the field every single down for a team. But while I think he's going to be extremely productive, there is a part of me that is still very worried that the athleticism is going to be a problem, right? He's going to have a problem separating. He's going to have a problem being a true difference maker against real top cornerback talent at the NFL level. I still really like him. I still think he's worth, I think, you know, we kind of agreed maybe like a very early day two guy, second round pick, early day two kind of guy. But that's maybe where he's maxing out. Is that, do you have him next on this list or do you have him even?
Yeah, not? He's fifth for me because of just the limited ceiling. But this is, we sounded like when coaches have like favorites and they just gush about players, like that's what it is. Coaches' favorites aren't always the best, most dynamic, explosive players. They're guys like this. So like he could be a favorite of ours. It doesn't mean he's at the top of our board, but he's a guy you would love to have on your team any day of the week because he's a winning player. But you're going to need a dynamic counterpart to him in order to make it work because he's not that number one guy like that. But yeah. Otherwise, yeah, we hit on it. He does everything else right.
I have Omar Cooper Jr., his teammate, at four. I don't know if that's where you have him. Would you have him?
No. I had him at nine, and I really like him. Had him at nine, and I really like him. But I just...
Oh, because you have him and Chris Bell swapped.
Literally, they're just flipped. Literally, they're just swapped, I guess.
Wow.
Yeah. And I like Omar Cooper a lot. Like, my ninth receiver... It's a third rounder for me. It's a third round player for me, which is very good. Which is very good.
I don't have nine guys in the first couple rounds. No way. But
at this position? Okay.
Damn. Yeah, no, not this year.
You're tough. I mean, you checked me on not. Well, look, like I said, I was trying to be fair to Denzel Boston. If it's me, like Mickey Mouse, Santa Claus there. If it was just me, like I'd probably put Boston in the third round like you. But like, there are teams and organizations that he can win with that just don't jive with my philosophy. So I have to try to be fair and I have to try to see that. It's kind of where I'm trying to evolve as an evaluator. We kind of mentioned Nick Imanwari and like the thing about Nick Imanwari, first off, number one, I think people are a little bit over their skis, even still number one. Okay.
You're going to drive it to the grave. Okay.
Like, I mean, it's not like, they didn't put him like man on Brock Bowers and just have him like, no, that's not what he did. Like all the issues that he had are still kind of there. It's just like, they put him in positions to succeed in a great environment and he's making it work, which you always said could happen. But again, I don't even know where I was going with that. Oh yeah. The point is other people can have a vision that jives more with their philosophy and that they could see why a prospect works. I'm trying to kind of incorporate that more into my philosophy as well in evaluation. But yeah, me personally running a draft room, I would also have Boston in the third. Cooper, I would have in the third. I think he does a lot of the high level things that Surratt does well. They're both clearly incredibly well coached and they do a lot of little things correctly. They don't really waste a lot of time. Surratt is just so much better at all the little things than Cooper is to me. I know he has that highlight catch. He might've had two of them, I think already this season that everyone's going to remember, Omar Cooper. But I think when it comes to the NFL and how they're going to win at the next level, Surratt is better at doing those things than even Cooper is. But Cooper's very good at them, which is why he's a third round grade for me.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
And why I think he can go in the in late day two, because he's another player that you want to have on your team.
Mm-hmm.
You just want Surratt on your team much, much more.
So with Surratt, I mentioned it when we did the video, so I'll mention it here, right? I see the kind of like, could he be Mike Evans, right? The most team-friendly receiver year over year. He's just producing the same way. He's never wide receiver one in the NFL. He's never wide receiver five in the NFL, but he's always good. He's always so good. Or is this J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, which is big-bodied, strong receiver who has straight line speed, but doesn't necessarily have great lateral athleticism to be a next level kind of separator and player, right? I saw shades of that with Elijah Surratt. And that scares me. That scares me a lot, right? Because to me, it's like right now I'm like, he can be a really good wide receiver too on a team where he's not going to, you know, be everything for you, but he's going to do the little things so freaking well and you can rely on him constantly. Or is he not good enough athlete where that stuff just doesn't translate at the next level? And, you know, he bounces around the NFL for 3 years and then he's out of the league. Like that's to me also a realistic possibility. Omar Cooper Jr., on the other hand, maybe the day-to-day stuff can't be necessarily as good at the top end, but he is a legit athlete. Like this is a very, very high-end athlete that can do lots of little things well. And I think being coached on that Indiana team, being part of that offense, being a part of that system, I hope that this player learned a ton and can bring that to the next level to help him continue in this journey. Because what I did see is a small player that was super sneaky and played well in space, created for himself, but was also a good teammate, separated for others, did good at the gimmicky stuff, but also can run routes, can get open on his own. Like, I like so much of what this guy does that the athleticism kind of confirms the story for me, where I'm like, okay, he can really be a number two receiver in the NFL. And at the very worst, he's like a number three. That's to me, that's wide receiver four in this class.
Wait, so who do you have higher?
I have three players higher. And it sounds like they're the three players.
I mean, between the Indiana guys.
Oh, I have Cooper Jr. higher on my list. But I think if Elijah Surratt goes to his pro day, does all the drills and shows me that he is like at least an average athlete, that might tip the scale.
Okay. I'll just say if J.J. Arcega-Whiteside tried to round a route the way Surratt did, he might just like blow up.
That is fair.
Okay. So we have three receivers left. We're going from 3 to 2 to 1.
We're going 3 to 2 to 1. Who's your three?
All right. My three is Jordan Tyson.
Okay.
I like him a lot. Probably around, you know, pick 20, I think is a very good range for him. Smooth. I like a lot in his game. Clearly earned the trust of his quarterback. What scares me is the injuries. It's just, it's a lot. Collarbone, knee, sprains. I mean, he's already torn his ACL once. I'm scared of the injury history before he's even in the league. And there are times where he's too much athlete, not enough bully as a player, and you need to kind of get your hands a bit more dirty than he does at times in his routes. He can make spectacular catches, but he won't always be consistent in getting open against tight coverage. And that worries me some. But I think assuming health and projecting the sort of natural progression of a player of his ability and athleticism, he could absolutely be a very good number one wide receiver for somebody in this league. You know, a tier two type of number one receiver, maybe. maybe tier three, depending on how you define elite versus, you know, the next tier, but kind of in that range, I think is realistic for Jordan Tyson. But again, the injuries are a concern and just some of the dirty work plays are not consistent enough for me to move him a bit higher on this list. So three, still very good. Like I said, round pick 20, I think is fair. So, you know, I probably have like 17, 16 first round grades in this class. He might be like the 18th one. He's kind of right there for me. But that's taking the injury into account. Without the injury, he's a surefire first round player.
Yeah. So like I have Jordan Tyson as my wide receiver two. And the reason being is because I do think that like X receivers are so valuable and they are rare, right? Like we talk about this list today and we're like, hey, these guys are going to be first and second and third round picks, but they're deficient at all of these things. If that was an offensive tackle and you're like, hey, he's deficient at all of these things, it's like, okay, he can't play offensive tackle in the NFL then. Like that just doesn't work. But at receiver, you can be deficient at one thing and still be an effective receiver because there's three of you on the field and then they shuffle guys in and out. Like you play to your strength at the receiver position, but there's not many receivers that are true wide receiver ones. And to me, like to your point, he might be the third tier of wide receiver one in the NFL, but I still think he's a wide receiver one in the NFL for a team. That's so valuable, right? And I agree with you. The injury stuff is scary. I worry a lot about this guy. You know, surviving at the next level, but he's good. Like he's a good receiver. He runs routes well. He's bendy and he looks a lot like what's been working in the NFL lately, right? Like those type of receivers in the NFL level have been winning and that's Jordan Tyson, right? So like, to me, that's wide receiver two in this class. My wide receiver three is Mekhi Lemon. Is he your two?
Mekhi Lemon is my two.
Okay, so we're going to talk about Mekhi Lemon next. So this is a guy, he's undersized, right? 5'11", 195 pounds. He's 21 years old, though, and he's uber productive, right? 1,156 yards and 11 touchdowns on 79 receptions in 2025 on a USC team that was mid, right? Like this isn't a good USC team. This is a guy, to me, that plays much stronger than that size suggests, and he does so much with the ball in his hands, right? When this guy gets the balls in his hands, he creates space. He gets to make people miss. He's strong. He fights for extra yardage. I just didn't see enough of a route tree to make me fully confident that this is a guy that's going to immediately translate. And I also don't think this is a guy that can be that true number one X type receiver at the NFL level. So why do you have him at two? Yeah.
He's not that X type receiver. And I feel like everyone by now has heard it before. Well, Amon-Ra St. Brown, he can be Amon-Ra St. Brown. And like, yes, but I think Amon-Ra St. Brown is more physically imposing and kind of just kind of generates some more force. And that matters. Like, I don't think he's that forceful of a player, but damn, he just wins, man. Like all the great things that the non-receivers in this class do, he does that better than them, but also does the wide receiver things really, really well. He's just not a prototype, you know, 6'1 plus, 200 plus type pounds. He's just a smaller stature, and it's not terribly, I mean, you know, 5'11", 195, whatever. Like, it's fine. It's okay. It's fine. But it's not next level, and I think that bumps him down a bit. So I get it, but wherever he goes, he's going to be successful because, again, if you want to be creative and get the ball in his hands, he will be fantastic at that. If he's just limited to wide receiver things, he will gain the easy separation that he needs to gain as a receiver in his routes to win that way. So I think the floor is just incredibly high with Mekhi Lemon because he could win every which way. He just doesn't have the prototype physical dominance and strength that, you know, others might be looking for as, you know, in a top wide receiver in the class. But hey, man, you draft him and that's a winning player. That's a heck of a winning player.
So he actually at the combine was 192 pounds. So like, okay, he's 10 pounds lighter than Amon-Ra, which is considerable, right? Like at the NFL level, that's considerable. And also like you showing up to your combine, you're probably putting on a little bit of weight. People also forget Amon-Ra's dad is like a bodybuilder and has these dudes doing like insane workouts. Like, I don't know if Mekhi Lemon is that. To me, he's kind of like fun size Mekhi, fun size Amon-Ra, and fun size Puka Nacua. Like he gives shades of that. Like it reminds me of, I remember I was listening to Sam Monson during like the James Cook draft. And they were like, this is 80% of his brother Dalvin Cook. And if you told me Mekhi Lemon was 80% of Amon-Ra or Puka Nacua, that's still like an insanely valuable player at the next level. And that's kind of what I have here, right? I kind of have that same kind of thing here. I do think the height though, right? Like being 5'11", how much are you going to be able to rely on this guy as a number one receiver as your primary kind of game plan, get this guy the ball kind of guy? I'm not sure it's going to be as overwhelming as it is for those other two guys.
He weighs how much again?
192.
Okay, he's 92% Amon-Ra St. Brown. Do not disrespect him with 80%, all right? Relax.
How much is he of Puka Nacua, though? Because I think Puka's like 220.
Puka's bigger, but I just wanted to say 92 because that's how much you weighed, Chris. Like, I knew the answer to the question.
You knew the answer. Puka's 216, so yeah. He's probably 80% of Puka Nacua.
Do the math. That's all right. We're not getting into that. So we both have the same number one guy.
Yeah, and you know what? Like, so okay, well, I guess we'll say it for the people. So Cardale Tate is both of our number one receiver, it sounds like. And I don't think this is, like, I don't think everybody has an agreement on this. So I think this isn't, like, necessarily, like, unanimous. But it's also not necessarily a hot take, right? 6'2", 195 pounds, 21-year-old true junior. So he's, like, kind of the youngest of this group, too. 875 yards, 9 touchdowns in 2025, 88.6 PFF grade. But he showed up to the combine and he competed. 4.53 40, 1.61 10-yard. Like, similar conversation as I had with Jordan Tyson, where I think he wins the way number one receivers typically win in the NFL today. And that's – and he doesn't have the injury history that Jordan Tyson has, right? That's – to me, that's it. I do, saying that, like – this guy to me, in terms of like the last, I don't know, 5 or 6 draft classes, he'd be farther down, right? Like, I don't think I wouldn't give him anywhere close to the grade I gave like Marvin Harrison Jr., Jamar Chase. Like, he's not anywhere near that level of guy. He's more in the Jordan Addison, Jackson Smith and Jigba tier of receiver for me, which is still like very good. It's just not, it's not an elite level grade that I'm giving this guy.
Yeah. And I get that. I think that's just the story of this class. They're missing that bellwether guy, but good receiver size and frame with large mitts, really good release when given space off the snap, navigates and manipulates space beautifully in his routes with tempo and leverage, goes up and gets the ball downfield, contested catches a plus when engaged, does a lot of the little things right in the pass and run game. But for a 6'2 wide receiver with contested catch ability, I expected more effort at the line when pressed, can lose focus and not stay engaged, particularly in the blocking game. That's just wide receivers, I guess. Physical when the ball's in the air, but can do a better job of shaking off contact at the break point. Can get high at the top of his route, slowing down his break and allowing defenders to key in on his routes. Not a ton of yak. Pretty physical, darn good player. Just, there are those elements missing that separate him from that elite tier. When I watched Cardale Tate, so the first receiver I studied in this class was Cardale Tate. After watching him, I thought he would not end up as my number one receiver because he was missing some of those dynamic, dynamic sort of, you know, finish to his game. He didn't have that. Then I watched the other receivers and I was like, well, Cardale Tate does this better than that guy. And they don't do that as well as Cardale Tate. They don't do this little thing as well as Cardale Tate. Oh, they have the same issue as Cardale Tate, but he looks better doing it than they do. And then I went back and I was like, man, he's the number one name for me. So he is with his flaws and he's very likely not going to be at the same level as these other Ohio State wide receivers in the league, whether that's a Smith and Jigba. We'll see if Marvin Harrison Jr. can get himself a quarterback and get out of the little funk that he's been in. But he's certainly not going to be Jeremiah Smith, who's coming out next year, or any of these other names that have, you know, some of these other recent names that have come into the league. I think even Garrett Wilson, I think pound for pound, if they were in the same class, I'd probably have Wilson above him as well, just for some perspective. but he's still just a really, really good player who I think in a normal sort of balanced draft class would probably go in the teens, 16-ish. But because the talent at the top of this class seems to be so skewed towards the defensive side of the ball, anyone who needs a target, he might be the first one off the board, and that could be in the top six. And I think most years that wouldn't be the case for someone like Carnell Tate. He could be wide receiver 13 to 15 in the NFL, be really good. That's a very good living, right? But he's not that elite player by any stretch, because even if he cleans up some of those other aspects of his game, there's just some natural stiffness there. He just doesn't have that elite level athleticism and frame that some others have in recent years. So really darn good player. Hopefully, because they don't have that sort of bellwether in this class, the expectations for him aren't unreasonable. Of course they're going to be unreasonable, but they shouldn't be, because this is a really good player, but don't expect superstar, right? That's reserved for very few players, and they don't come out every single year.
That's a great summary. So CeeDee Lamb went 17th overall in that draft class.
What a travesty for the league. My goodness.
Nuts, right? I think Carnell Tate is 80% of CeeDee Lamb. Like, that's honestly, like, that's how I'm like, when I watched his film, that's kind of the player I was like, he does a lot of that stuff. He kind of resembles that kind of a player, but he's like 10 pounds skinnier. And he's not as twitchy either. Like, I didn't think he was as twitchy. CeeDee Lamb is different. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And CeeDee Lamb went 17th. I think that's probably where I see Carnell Tate going in an, like you said, in an ideal draft where it's a normal kind of talent level. But to your point, this might be player six off the board, which to me is kind of crazy. It's going to be interesting because there are so many teams like the Bills that are so hungry for a number one receiver. And I wonder if a team like that says, this isn't a really expensive draft class to trade up, so I might be able to go up, maybe obviously not to six, but if a guy really does fall to 15, whether it's Carnell Tate or Jordan Tyson, and they fall to 10 to 15 range, could a team like the Bills trade up and go get a guy like that? I could really see that happening this year.
Yeah, desperation can make you do some things. And I mean, well, the Cleveland Browns are sixth. That might be exactly where he goes if he gets past the Giants. You would need a haul to, I think, move Cleveland off of that, because, man, they're desperate for offensive talent too. So,
yeah, but they also, pretty sure they don't have one of their offensive linemen coming back this year. Just going to point that out. So they might just be desperate for offense, which isn't great for this draft to be picking number six overall.
No. This is a bad time to need those positions for the Browns. If you need defense and you're picking in the top 10, this is a good year for that. Mm-hmm. Not so much on the offensive side of the ball.
Yeah, and it makes you think of their decision last year, right, with Mason Graham, who I think is an incredible player, and I think he was the best player to pick in that spot. But it's like, you could probably get one of those type of talents this year where the offense is just totally missing.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, hey, it's the Cleveland Browns, so what else could you expect?
Yeah, exactly, man. All right, man. We've been going for almost 2 hours. I think we got to turn it off now. Everybody, thank you so much for tuning in. If you haven't yet, give us a follow on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and X at @all22_PFF. And give us a review wherever you watch or listen to your podcast. And have a great rest of your day.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Bettering your business takes working with the best. With the James Hardie Alliance, you gain access to leads, training, networking, and support from the number one brand of siding in North America. Achieve new levels of success by joining the James Hardie Alliance today.